Last session on the Two-Headed Serpent, Spencer, Bart, and Jane had knocked Gunhilda out and were trying to work out what to do with her. They placed her safely in the troll cavern and then got back to try to work out what was happening within the troll cavern. And what was going on was that Charles and Ethan, as they were running away from the rampaging troll within the Serpentman complex and had pushed their way past the two giant babies, had fallen out into the void of the abyss. But before they tumbled to their inevitable deaths, they managed to grab hold of these two floating clear glass hemispheres and pulled their way into them and worked out that they could actually exert some degree of control over their movement and floated across the abyss towards the mass of angry trolls. Happily, before the trolls had much of a chance to do more than throw a few stones and a bit of refuse their way, the others had calmed down the mass there, or at least spoken to the elder, got her to calm her rabble down. And as a result, when Charles and Ethan landed, they weren't torn to bits, which, yeah, is probably for the best. Reunited, they had a bit of a discussion about what they were going to do, and then immediately Charles and Ethan headed off on their own again. They got into one of the hemispheres and decided to float down into the depths of the abyss, where they realized that they were moving into the lungs of something vast, and that the walls were a little bit fleshy, a little bit like stone, that there was some movement down here, and where the stone cracked, there was some of this silver fluid running out of it. And Ethan had decided that he had found the biggest game that he was ever going to hunt in his life. So, well, actually, do you want to explain about Spencer and then Joe, and then we'll pick it up from there?
Yeah, sure. So Aaron approached us about a week ago, and has said that due to some personal reasons, he's going to take a break from the show. That'll certainly be through the rest of the Iceland chapter, and hopefully he'll rejoin at some point. But how do you want to handle Spencer's character, Scott?
I think let's do it in story. So while the others are up top with the trolls, there is some growing disquiet up there with Charles and Ethan having gone down into the abyss. With the limited communication that you have with the trolls, the elder seems to be somewhat disquieted. She certainly, again, you have trouble reading her body language, but she certainly doesn't seem very happy about the whole situation. And this unhappiness is spreading towards all of your other new 12-foot-tall, monstrous-looking acquaintances.
Bartle sort of look up him from his fascinated exploration of his ability to fly this thing, and then his near-orgasmic joy at being handed a pain whip. Probably just in time to hear those two warbling their inanities of joy and curiosity as they plunge into the literal belly of the beast.
Yes.
You see Bart sort of heads poke over the side of the digger, like, oh fuck, and we just found them again. and then I'll direct the what are we calling these flying cups? The flying machine.
Yeah. What are you calling them?
Flying saucers?
Where those two have gone off to find something, probably trouble. I don't know about you. I don't exactly sort of breath of this thing's incoming, inhaling and exhaling. I don't fancy following.
You couldn't pay me enough to go down there.
Yes, I've seen enough dark holes for one lifetime.
Jane sort of turns around to look for Spencer for his opinion. And
yeah, there isn't any sign of him. This, again, isn't unusual because, yeah, there are a lot of trolls around, there are a lot of moving figures, and they're moving a bit more agitatedly than they were before. There's a bit of a push over towards the edge of the abyss. But between that and the fact that the cave is only lit by a few campfires and some glowing fungus, It's really easy to lose one another down here. Really easy.
Okay, so Jane is kind of glancing around, because I think that while Bart was up in the flying saucer, wiping his pain whip or what have you, she and Spencer were kind of like looking on a little bit for a while, and then Jane was kind of lost in thought, basically, of what the fuck do we do next? So she's kind of broken out of her reverie a bit by Bart coming back, and then realises that Spencer's kind of wandered off somewhere or something's happened, but she's kind of... there's a lot going on right now, and she's quite sort of stressed. So
yeah.
She just thinks errantly, oh, maybe he went to check on Gunhilda. I don't know. Bart, what are we doing? What do we do now?
I find myself at something of a loss.
Yes.
The goal had been to find Charles and Ethan. We found them.
And we lost them.
Yes. And now we seem to have also lost Spencer, so...
Yes.
One step forward, four steps back.
It's a tango of confusion.
Isn't that what tangos are?
It really is.
As Bart glances around, does there seem to be any locus of activity amongst the trolls?
There are two loci of activity. There is the abyss that they've gathered round, where there is a lot of the anger that's being directed. But also, some of the others have peeled off. And the noises they're making sound less angry. You're not quite sure what they are, but there seems to be chanting and singing going on. And that's happening over closer to that massive statue of Sarthogua.
Ah, good. The Sarthogua worship continues. Well, I'm just trying to regroup in my brain, really, but we're meant to be checking out the facility, are we not? And sort of gathering intel. I don't really know how much intel Ethan and Charles would have gathered, to be honest with you. But it also sounds like to go into the lab the way they came would be to meet with a very angry troll. So that leaves me thinking, do we try to access the lab another way? Are we going to look for the villagers and Gunhilda's brother? There's a mission of sorts that we can maybe salvage at this point. And we have a flying machine.
Yes, we do.
Bark gets an almost puckish, a look of puckish glee on his face. It sort of makes it bob up and down in the air. It's really quite responsive. I don't know if I'll ever be able to go back to the Bergman after this.
At some point, could Charles and Ethan come shooting out the hole at wild speed?
Yeah,
can you hear
okay.
A crump of grenades as you...
No.
Then cutting back down to Charles and Ethan down there in the lungs, Ethan has obviously decided that he has found the biggest prey he is ever going to find in his life. What are you actually doing with this situation?
We gotta get out of here. This thing is alive.
We have to kill it. I mean, I have to kill it. But I'm not going to try and kill it while we're inside it, right? I might be crazy, but I'm not fucking stupid, yeah? Right.
Ethan, there's no killing this thing. You're just going to wake it up.
That's why I need you to help me. I need a bigger gun. This is not good enough anymore. And I just present the elephant gun going, this is like completely useless. I need something at least 3 times bigger, yeah?
3 times bigger. Maybe the volcano. Maybe we could steer the lava down its mouth.
I don't know if that'd work, but maybe. I need you to use your crazy gadgetry to try and figure out some kind of way that we can take this down. It's huge. We would be legends.
I don't know. My brain's feeling kind of fuzzy since I got stuck by that big thing. We gotta go anyway. We gotta go before we wake it up.
You're right. Let's go. Come on.
And as you say that, the breath changes direction again. And down here in the lungs, it is all the stronger. I mean, you're just about pulled out of the sphere by the sudden shift in the air.
Like my hair gets... I'm putting my hand on my hat as it's trying to blow off my head. I put my arm up and I'm getting goosebumps. I'm like, oh, I'm telling you, Charles, this is going to be a good one.
Can I use piloting to, oh, we just probably don't need to, but maybe ride the air currents out?
You don't need to make a roll for this because you are in control of the transport sphere. So, yeah, you can just ride it out on the exhalation.
Right, we got to go, boy.
You haven't really worked out exactly how fast this thing can go. You've been quite cautious with it so far.
I think this is where, that's what I said about piloting things. I want to go as fast I can without... Not as fast as we can, but as fast as we can without knocking ourselves off.
In which case, no, I won't call for a piloting role here because this is a very different skill. You're controlling it with your mind. What I will call for is dex rolls off both of you to hold on to it. As you are, when this thing, as you will it to accelerate, it accelerates and it goes fast. I mean, you are going up the tunnel or whatever this is that you came down. You don't know how fast you're moving, but this is way, way faster than you've ever got a plane to move.
So this is 35 versus 90, hard success. Yeehaw!
Got a 79 against 90. And I'm just holding on to, like, Charles's arm hair. Whoa!
Yeah. Well, I think it's worse than that. I think, you know, Charles haven't got hard success. He's well positioned inside. I mean, Ethan, on the other hand, I mean, this thing's swaying around. And by the time you get up towards the top, you are half hanging out of this. It's just really desperation that's keeping you within. This thing's shaking around wildly.
To be fair, Charles is probably taking up half the, more than half the cup.
Please, Charles, can you try and slow it down?
Well, there is this absolute blur as you're heading up towards all these trolls. You're going to have to slam the brakes on pretty damn quick. Otherwise, you are just going to end up like flies on a windshield as you hit the top of this chamber.
Yeah, I think maybe so. Charles is going to sort of do a curve, so he'll come out and then over the top of the trolls and try and stop around where Jane and Bart are.
Okay, so while Jane and Bart are having their conversation about what to do, there is suddenly chaos within the troll cavern. There is shouting and hooting and screaming. The trolls scatter wildly. There is panic, there is anger. Some of them are beginning to throw stones as there is this just blur of motion as this half-sphere comes shooting out of the abyss, tearing across the heads of everyone else and just swirling around the cavern, coming to some kind of halt.
Jane, Bart, that thing's alive. That's not a hole, that's a mouth.
What tipped you off? The breathing.
I literally said... Jane's just... Okay. Well, at least we now know. How far did you go down?
Probably its lungs, I would imagine.
Ah.
It got kind of red and squishy and it was leaking that silver stuff.
While you're having this conversation, there is a mass of angry trolls coming towards you. They do not look friendly.
Bart?
Converse later. I'll bring the saucer down a bit and reach down and, you know, reach out my hand to Jane.
Thank you, darling.
And yank her up onto the...
Okay.
Quick stop to pick off the annoying Icelandic woman. And then I suggest we de-arse the area.
You can see... Staggering past one of the campfires, there is Gunnhilda. She's got blood running down her head. She's grabbed one of these stone weapons as an improvised weapon, because I think you took her rifle off her. And she's there shouting something in Icelandic to this gathering mob of trolls.
Oh God, Gunnhilda.
I wonder if she kisses her mother with that mouth.
Yeah, well, I mean, your Icelandic isn't good enough, but it's probably the equivalent of come and have a go if you think you're hard enough.
The first rule of Fight Club is...
Yeah, so Bart is going to gesticulate to Ethan and Charles to follow, and zip over to Chukenhilda, basically trying to buzz the trolls surrounding her as closely as possible to make them scatter.
Okay, well, this sounds like a good opportunity for an intimidate roll.
I think I should have some bonuses because I'm flying.
Oh yeah, I'll give you a bonus die. Yep.
I think Jane might also try to persuade... Get in the back of the van!
That is a bare success with 18 against 19.
Okay, no, that's good. So, yeah, you do manage to get the trolls to... They back off in fear as your sphere swoops down in amongst them. Gunhilda's there just waving the stone club around, looking half-crazed in the flickering lamplight. And as Jane calls down to her, she runs over and sort of scrambles up into the sphere, almost tipping it over in the process.
Gunhilda, drop Whoa! The giant stone weapon!
No, we will need it. Someone has taken my gun. One of these monsters.
It's a little bit... Let her have the rock. It's better than her asking for a gun.
Okay. But if we all fall off the ship, I'm blaming her.
In terms of the sort of lay of the land, is the passageway that we've come from, is that wide enough or large enough for us to have these flying cup things?
Yeah, that definitely is. Yeah. You do remember, however, that the bit of corridor that you came down was being torn apart by a very, very large angry troll.
Leave now, talk later!
And so starts, where are you leading?
Flying in the direction of the entrance we came in through.
Okay. So, yeah, you do manage to flee out through the entrance, pursued by angry trolls. There are there are stones flying all around you as you flee out, dodging through the smoke and the fire. But you do, obviously Ethan and Charles haven't seen this, so you're going past a number of heads on spikes down this Jesus. Little tunnel, and then all of a sudden emerge out into sunlight.
Jane just kind of looks back and just kind of wryly says, "Exuent, pursued by troll."
I guess carry on about a kilometer and then probably pull it into a hover. A couple hundred feet up. Wait for Ethan and Charles to catch up.
Yeah, you can see from this distance, it probably looks like ants coming out of an anthill, but you can see this spreading mass of angry trolls on the hillside coming out of the entrance that you came out of.
Could we lead them up the mountain? But whenever they look, they're gonna stop, like go down and buzz them again.
Well, it's not the worst idea ever. I was considering trying to use them, but you've somewhat soured our relationship, I'm afraid.
I think Charles is just doing it for fun. Like, there's no plan. He's got intelligence 20. He just quite likes buzzing.
So while Jane and Bart are having this conversation about what to do next, Charles has taken his hemisphere and is just buzzing off the heads of the angry trolls. Okay, right.
Bart, I don't understand. Why are they after us?
Jane, could you possibly remind me why we were trying to find them again?
I don't know.
For the life of me, I can't think why.
I feel like we were just about to leave without them, but they kind of turned up. But honestly, I think we need all of us in this. For once.
Ethan's like holding on the edge of the hemisphere.
Really? I mean, what is this? A George Lucas film in their R2-D2 and C-3? I just don't... No, sorry. I apologize. R2-D2, they're definitely both Jar Jar Binks.
I was about to say, if we're anyone, then I'm Solo and he's Chewie. If anyone's C-3PO, it's Bart.
Hello, I'm C-3PO. Human cyborg. Relations.
I think if anyone looks like Chewie at the moment, it's Charles.
It's Charles, yeah.
Is Ethan currently clinging to his ship then?
No, he hasn't quite got to that stage, but he's come very close to falling out a few times, and certainly you can see that the paces that Charles is putting the hemisphere through as he's swooping over the trolls is providing a very good demonstration of Newton's three laws of motion. Ethan is experiencing a lot of equal but as opposite reactions.
Well, Jane, we need to continue. I obviously they've rather kicked the hornet's nest. Well, two of them looks like. Do I still fancy the idea of going up to the caldera with that flying machine?
Well, I'm game. I can't see any better way of getting into this laboratory at the moment.
So, are you heading over towards the caldera?
Yes, yep. We are.
Okay. Well, with the speed these things go at, it doesn't take you long to get over there. And you can see that there is this long, fairly straight chimney heading straight down hundreds of meters into darkness. The walls look fairly smooth, and also, I say into darkness, but you can see a few lights down below at the very bottom.
What are Charles and Ethan doing?
I think when you set off, we're following.
Sort of, as we hover on the edge, we will sort of have a little slow to our right side by side.
Right. Might I suggest a stealthy entry this time, gentlemen?
A couple of things. Have I still got my Tommy gun? And did Ethan grab at some of the chemical that made Charles massive?
Well, you've both been through a lot of chaos and running away and being imprisoned and escaping and stuff like that since then. So let's have luck rolls off each of you to see whether you do have those things.
That's 45 versus my luck of 67. I have my Tommy gun.
Okay.
I got a luck of 98.
And he rolled a 99, no.
No, as in, I rolled a 98.
Oh.
Against my 63.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, then Ethan has lost any chemicals that you might have picked up, but Charles does still have his Tommy gun.
I had the syringe in my pocket and I've accidentally stabbed myself, so now I'm going to be giant and retarded. No.
Charles, what did happen to you?
They were doing some sort of experiment with a vat of green liquid and syringes and a giant monster which we killed. I got attacked by her.
And Charles will show the kind of like oozing wound where he got the sort of injection site where he got stabbed.
I got by the thing.
Is it oozing?
It is a fairly big stab wound, so it's oozing a bit of blood. What's the word I'm looking for? Plasma. But no. Apart from that, there's no chemicals coming out of it.
Did it look anything like this? And I hold up the syringe out of my backpack. Yeah.
No, that is obviously a manual plunger that's on the syringe that Bart's got. And the liquid that's inside it is a completely different colour. The one that was injected into you was a sort of greenish blue. This is silver.
No, that's not what got me, but that silver, we saw that in the lungs of the monster down below. It was leaking it.
Maybe green stuff makes you larger and then the silver stuff makes you smaller, like something out of Alice in Wonderland. I don't know.
That's about as good as an explanation as I've heard. Come on then, Charles, get some of the silver stuff in you.
Ethan's got the control of the sphere as well, hasn't he? And Ethan, your stealth is much better than mine. If you want to take over and be a bit more stealthy with our descent.
Yeah, of course. I'll give it a go.
I just want to butt in at this point because I was thinking about this earlier. After scheming, Jane's quite keen to try and control the ship as well. So she says, well, if they get to share it, we get to share it.
Oh, yes.
And so she's going to give it a go.
Okay, give me a power roll.
Oh,
Very well. Let me just get us close to the ground first.
Could children learn to share their toys? Okay.
That's certainly what Mummy always say. I never particularly agreed. But
you were an only child, weren't you, darling?
How did you know?
Are you descending both the hemispheres together? Or?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's... So as you're descending, Jane is trying to take control.
I rolled a 19 out of 55.
Yeah. That...
I'm so powerful.
As you're descending, Bart all of a sudden feels that he is no longer in control of the sphere, that she is now operating under someone else's guidance.
Careful now. She's a little bit willful.
I know, so am I.
I'm going to be trying to fly this... What do we call them, saucers now? Is that...
You call them whatever you want.
Yeah, trying to fly my... or the UFO in a stealthily manner by sort of obscuring any line of sight.
Yeah, as you get closer to the bottom... that there is some kind of room down there. This seems to be opening up into a very large room. You can see that there is a metallic floor that's a bit dusty, that there are sort of greenish artificial lights going in the room. As you get closer, you can definitely hear the sound of machinery and of voices.
All right, everyone keep it down. These glass hemispheres, they don't... They don't make any noises, right?
No, they're so.
For some reason, in my head, I just imagine them going, whoa, 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 Star Trek style.
They've got a built-in theremin, yeah.
Jane doesn't know whether she actually wants to say this because it's probably too wild an idea, but if it's like a really large room, she's just thinking, I mean, could we distract them with a grenade in a corner or something?
I don't think that's a good use of a grenade, considering we're like, there's a really big creature that we need to kill. We need all the grenades we can get.
You say need. I think you mean want. And Jane doesn't want. I don't want. I don't want to do that. Why are we doing that?
We need to kill the thing. If it wakes up, it's going to destroy the island. Maybe more.
Well, do we know that it's asleep? Dormant? Yeah.
It's waking up. That's why this whole island's shaking, I think.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Fuck me. I hate it when Charles has a point.
I'm nodding behind Charles. Hmm?
Okay, maybe we do need to kill the giant monster. I certainly don't like the giant monster. I have no attachment to the giant monster. I think dead giant monster is... That's fine. But also, how do we even kill something that large?
We need to get one of them scientists, find out what they're doing, make them tell us.
Bart just sort of holds his hand to his forehead.
No, I don't seem to be hallucinating. Charles just made two points in a row. Oh, good God, my worldview is shattering around me.
If only we had some kind of whip that could convince somebody to talk.
Oh, I have one of those.
Yes, right.
Can we descend, like, round the edge, like, along the kind of wall down? Again, like, if it's a bright room, but just stealthily as possible.
Okay. Right. So are you...
Have we got a good view of this?
Well, it depends how close down you're getting. Obviously, you can see the area that's directly underneath the chimney, but if you want to see more of the room, you're going to have to come down below the level of the ceiling.
And all we can see is that there's a room below, nothing else. Yeah. And the occasional person walking.
Well, person. You can hear voices.
Figure.
Hey, lizard people are people too. Just lizard people.
You three, you stay here. Ethan and I will find out what's down there. We'll make a distraction if we get spotted.
Yeah, we'll try not to get killed.
So you lower yourself down to the level of the ceiling. And if you want to try to skirt around and keep out of line of sight, yeah, okay, let's have a stealth roll. I will ask for a hard one, because you are flying something obvious in a well-lit area.
Okay. I'm trying my best. Oh, 78 against 80.
Okay, so that...
just a success.
Yeah.
Ooh, can we push the roll?
How do you want to push it? How are you going to try and help me be more stealthy here? Let's say we've, like, scraped it up against some rocks.
I guess it depends. So either we've scraped against some rocks, then I could take over control and then try and dive down. Or as we duck down, I notice one of the figures paying attention.
I think it's that, yeah, that as you come down, just as you make it below the ceiling, you do see that there are a number, about three or four serpent people wandering around doing things. One of which you notice just as you drop down is turning in your direction.
Could I point out that person, mm-hmm. and then so as they turn around, we like move with them?
Try to stick to their back. Yeah,
I think you should try and nab them.
So you got to try to move within the blind spots of all four moving serpent people within this room.
Well, you said there's one that's turning around towards us. Yeah. If we just he turns around, then.
Oh, but it's just the fact that there's another three in there, so if you're moving out of his blind spot, you can put your... Oh, yeah, I'm not saying this isn't a reason to push them all. I'm just saying that...
Forget that. How about Charles goes, hold on! And then I'm going to go as fast as I can to try and zoom down behind some piece of cover.
Okay. Yep,
so before it turns around, if I can accelerate to some cover.
Okay,
we push in the roll then.
Well, except this is Charles now doing this.
Yeah.
So he's still pushing the roll, but Charles gets to roll. So let's have a hard... You're still trying to get down behind a bit of cover, so it is still stealth. So let's have a hard stealth roll from Charles here.
Okay, we're looking for 10%. 70.
No! Okay.
So
I'm in a glass bowl with a... No, never mind.
I mean, you were in a glass bowl. So basically, Charles accelerates down, gets nicely behind this bit of equipment, but unfortunately doesn't really decelerate in time, hits the ground mightily. This hemisphere that you're in smashes into bits. The two of you go flying, bodies tumbling. There is this almighty crashing sound, and you each take... Charles takes 9 hit points of damage, and Ethan takes 4.
Charles only has 8 hit points.
Oh my god.
Okay, so he's unconscious. Charles is unconscious at this stage, yeah.
I'm slapping your account. Wake up! Charles, wake up! Charles!
So Bart and Jane and Gunhilda can see in their transport sphere as they're looking down just this wreckage of the glass shattered all over the place. Ethan trying to slap Charles awake. Charles very obviously unconscious. And now every serpent person in the room running towards them getting weapons out. And let's leave it there for this session.
Jean just starts slowly floating away.
Drop dad.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I still have 30 luck. It's okay. Charles goes full Hulk mode and destroys them all.
Amazing.
So on that note, and on that bombshell, we will call it there. So again, thank you everyone for playing, and thank you everyone at home for listening. I hope you've enjoyed our chaotic episode. My name is Joe Trey. If you want to get a hold of me, please check me out on Twitter. I've got my own Twitter account now, which is @JoeTheGM, which I am slowly growing. And the podcast obviously has its own Twitter account, which is @HWRPodcast, where you can keep up to date with any releases and any news. And we have a podcast Discord, a podcast Facebook page, and obviously our Patreon. It's the absolute best way of supporting the show. So if you do like what we do and want us to carry on doing it, then please drop us a few bucks over there. For the price of about a cup of coffee, not only do you get early access to all the episodes, but you do get access to a whole load of secret patron-only stuff, including Call of Cthulhu scenarios that have not been released, including The Space Between, and the 3 Cult Divinity Lost adventures that we've been playing with Scott as a player, as well as myself and Dave and Craig from Red Moon Roleplaying as GM. So patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. while I catch my breath. Curran, thank you so much for playing. Yeah. Where can people find more of you?
You can find me on Twitter at Curran underscore J. That's K-U-R-A-N underscore J. Or you can find me on the How We Roll or Does It Roll Discords. Hopefully we pick that up again. We start doing some weekend streams and stuff.
Boom. There's some really cool stuff. And Dave, again, thank you so much for playing and welcome back. Where can people find more of your stuff?
I am to be found only on our Discord for those elite, intelligent, beautiful, wonderful people who had the good sense to come and spend some time with us there.
We've had a whole bunch of people join actually this week. It's a great place and very much the hub of our social network. So please do check it out. And Camille, again, thank you so much for playing. And is there anything you'd like to plug, share, mention? What are you up to?
I tend to always say this at the start of this, but I go, hello! yeah, very great to be on the show, as per. And if you want to get in touch with me at all, I think one of the best ways is through the Discord. I'm at Camille B. I'm also at Camille Broad on Twitter. I'm at Cami underscore poetry, Cami underscore ukulele on Instagram, if poetry or ukulele covers are your thing. So I'm on a few different places online. So anywhere you want to get in touch, feel free.
Amazing. And last, but by no means least, thank you so much, Scott, for taking us through this. Where can people find more of you?
Well, thank you, Joe. Yeah, you can find me, as with everyone else, in the How We Roll Discord. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at S. Dorwood. Alternatively, if you want to hear other stuff I do, go over to blasphemoustomes.com, the home of the good friends of Jackson Elias, where Paul Frick and Matt Sanderson and I talk about Call of Cthulhu, horror films, weird fiction, and other cool stuff. And well, we've recently been doing interviews with a whole bunch of people, including Adrian Tchaikovsky, which was a fantastic interview. He is speaking all about how he creates realistic, or at least believable, non-human intelligences in his stories and how we can use that in games. And recently with Seth Gorkowski and John Hook about their new podcast, Modern Mythos.
Mm. Oh, amazing. Well, again, thank you so much. And we'll be back next week. We'll be back soon with the next exciting episode.